The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter number 5, Text number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 9th, 2007, in Lautoka, Fiji.
So, today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter number 5, Text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sabhavanna charad ghoram yattapasu samahita tena keda yase nastavam parasangyam cha yachasi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you. When we think of your great austerities and perfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation, following in the footsteps of Sri Narad Muni, one should not blindly accept his spiritual master as God himself. A spiritual master is duly respected on a par with God, but a spiritual master claiming to be God himself should at once be rejected. Narad Muni accepted Brahma as the Supreme due to Lord Brahma's wonderful acts in creation. But doubts arose in him when he saw that Lord Brahma also worshipped some superior authority. The Supreme is Supreme. That's a wonderful statement. Prabhupada said, the Supreme is supreme. And he has no worshipable superior. The ahangra pasita, or one who worships himself with the idea of becoming God himself, is misleading. But the intelligent disciple can at once detect that the Supreme God does not need to worship anyone, including himself, in order to become God. Ahangra upasana may be one of the processes of transcendental realization. But the ahangra upasita can never be God himself. No one becomes God by undergoing a process of transcendental realization. Narad Muni thought of Brahmaji as the Supreme Person. Then when he saw Brahmaji engaged in the process of transcendental realization, doubts arose in him. So he wanted to be clearly informed. Om Jnana Timuram Vrsha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Nidati Svapamanditam. So nowadays, especially in this age we are in, Kali Yuga, you see. In this age, it is very popular to advertise that I am God, you are God, and we are all God. The guru, he teaches the process by which the disciple can become God, so-called guru. But this is cheating, simply cheating. The living entity cannot become God. God is God and the living entity is the living entity. They say, well, actually the living entity is God, but he forgot. He's fallen into a state of illusion. But how the Supreme can forget? An intelligent person would ask, how the Supreme could ever forget that he's the Supreme? If you are God, why are you having a struggle here in Latoka? He said, If you're the Supreme, you control everything, you own everything. Then why are you struggling? Why are we struggling here? How to pay our bills, how to get something to eat, how to find a place to sleep. You see? Does it make sense that God would have to struggle just to get his daily eatables? No, doesn't make sense. So this idea that I'm God, you're God, we're all God, we just have to realize it, this idea falls apart because God wouldn't have to realize it. He would never not realize it. God is omniscient. You see, he knows everything about everything. He's never an illusion. So this idea of the living entity becoming God is preposterous. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's asinine. It's stupid. It's just downright foolish. So we should never be fooled. But it's attractive because, wow, I'm God. You see, I tried to make it in school and I didn't make it academically. I tried to make it in business and my business folded. I tried to make it in music, but nobody wanted to hire my band. I tried to make it in art, but nobody wanted to purchase my painting. In so many ways, I tried to make it big in this world and I failed, but now I know what I'll do. I'll take this philosophy and I'll become God. And this way I'll become successful. You see? So it may be very attractive to the false pride, the false ego, that yes, I can become God. But that is not the way. That is a false conception. Someone may feel very good, oh, Guru Maharaj told me that I am God. You see? He may feel very good for some time. It is stated, happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. But when he actually tries to be God, tries to act as God, it's impossible. He cannot do that. He may feel very good thinking, oh, now I am God. But can he actually act as God? Can he know everything? Can he control everything? No, not able to. Such a person who foolishly becomes excited to find out that he's God becomes disappointed to know that he can't actually do it. He cannot actually act as God. It's not possible. So instead of wasting our time trying to be God, which we can never be, why don't we do that which will bring us to our actual position? What is our actual position? We are servants of God. How do we know that we are servants of God? It's a very simple thing. We are not asking you to accept some blind faith arguments. No. Use your intelligence. Just analyze with your scientific brain. Everywhere we see the part of a thing serves the complete whole of a thing. It's like there's this microphone here. You see, there's various parts to the microphone. There's the screen here, there's the wire, there's the plug. There's so many different aspects. The inside electronic devices coming through the wire, the sound system. You see, every part of the sound system is meant to serve the complete whole sound system. And if it doesn't do so, then it needs to be repaired or replaced because it's unhealthy. If this wire gets broken, you see, it either has to be repaired or replaced. So every part of the sound system is meant to serve the complete whole sound system. And if it's not doing so, something has to be done to fix it or replace it. So are not you part of the complete whole of existence? There's a complete whole, this universe. Are you not a part of the complete whole? You can analyze that I am not the complete whole. I am part of the complete whole. So being part of the complete whole, you are naturally meant to serve the complete whole. And if you're not doing so, what are you? You're broken. Krishna will not replace us because we're His children. That's out of the question. So it's a matter of being repaired, that's it. We have to be prepared. If we're not functioning in a position of service to the complete whole, then it's time for the repairman to come and repair us. So who is the repairman? You know who is the repairman? Guru, spiritual master. He is the repairman who is acting on behalf of the repair shop. Namely, God is the owner of the repair shop. And the guru, he is the employee of God. He comes as the repairman. Say, oh, you're not properly tuned. It's like you take your engine to the mechanic for tune-up. So the guru, he can immediately see, oh, this person is not tuned. They're out of tune. They need to be tuned up. So if you submit yourself to guru, then he will make all the adjustments. And he will tune you up, and then you can, your engine will purr like a kitten. It'll run very nicely. You'll actually be in harmony with the complete whole. You'll achieve a state which is called Brahmabhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakamshati Samaksaveshu Bhuteshu Madmaktim Lavate Param. You'll achieve a state of consciousness of unlimited bliss, where you don't hanker for anything, you don't lament. Where you feel totally equal to all living beings. Whether you see a king, a prime minister, a street sweeper, a mango tree, a little ant. You see, whether you see an Indian, whether you see a Fijian, whether you see a man, whether you see a woman. You see all living entities equally because they are all part and parcel of God. So by putting ourselves under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then we learn to purify our consciousness to where we can see everything perfectly. Just like, none of us here wear glasses, but many people wear glasses. So why do they wear glasses? Because their eyes don't focus properly. So they get some glasses so they can see things clearly as they are. Now, are the glasses an artificial imposition on their vision? No. Their out of focus condition of the eyes is an artificial imposition on their clear vision. The glasses are not an imposition. The glasses free them from the imposition put on them by their out-of-focus eyes. So in a similar way, the spiritual master does not impose upon anything upon us. What he does is he removes from us that which has been imposed upon us by what? The material society, the material world. He has conditioned us, has trained us, has misguided us big time. We've been misguided. If I ask you if you're a man or a woman, you know, you say, oh, I'm male or I'm female, but actually you're not. We are not this body. Aham Brahmasmi. We've been misguided by the society into thinking I'm a boy, I'm a girl, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a Fijian, I'm American, I'm Indian, this and that. So many false designations. The self artificially misidentifies with a lump of what? Blood, mucus, stool, urine, muscle and bone. That's a losing proposition. If you think you're that lump that's falling asleep in Bhagavatam class over there, wake up. If you think that you're that lump, you got it wrong. You've got it wrong. You're the eternal spiritual being. You have unlimited bliss, unlimited knowledge. You see. But as soon as we misidentify with this material body, then what do we get? Asat, nirananda, and fall asleep in class. You see. It's simply due to bodily misidentification that we become dragged down into the lower modes of material nature, and it's miserable. The mode of ignorance is so damn miserable. At least the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. But the mode of ignorance, oh, it's poison in the beginning and poison at the end. So we should not be in the mode of ignorance when we come to Bhagavatam class. Even though it's early in the morning, you know, maybe we didn't get enough sleep the night before. We've been working hard for Prabhupada's mission. You know, those things are there, but we got to fight it off. No, you can't sleep. You've got to tell ourselves, stay awake. Sit straight, you know, open your eyes. Do something. Stay awake, because by tuning into this Bhagavatam, you will completely become transcendental to the material nature. This Bhagavatam has the power to liberate you. Actually, through this Srimad Bhagavatam, you can have direct darshan of Krishna without the curtain having to open. Krishna can reveal himself to you personally if you become perfect in Bhagavatam consciousness. And what is that Bhagavatam consciousness? Always be very eager to hear the Bhagavatam, speak the Bhagavatam, and most importantly, you know what the third one is? Live the Bhagavatam at every minute. With every thought, with every word, and with every deed, in all times, all places, and all situations. To become a living embodiment of the Bhagavatam. That's the position of guru, you see. Nashta praesha badreshu nityam bhagavata sevya bhagavat yuttama shloke bhaktir nabhavati naishtaki. There's two types of Bhagavatam. There's the book and there's the person. So do you think Prabhupada wants that only your guru should be a person Bhagavatam, or Prabhupada wants you to be a person Bhagavatam also? What do you think? That's just for the guru, you know. The guru only. No. Actually, Prabhupada said we should all be gurus. Not that we all of us initiate, but we should all be living embodiments of this philosophy, acharyas. You should be an acharya. 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 Everyone should become an acharya, a perfect example of Krishna consciousness. And what's the benefit? Well, the first benefit is this. Every second will be the sweetest nectar. Wouldn't you like to taste the sweetest nectar at every second? A nectar that got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity? How would you like to begin that program right now? That from now on you simply taste unlimited nectar at every second, and that nectar just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. This is what the Bhagavatam is offering us. This platform of pure bhakti. Ahaita ki apritiyata yayatma supersedati. We simply have to learn the art. It's a very, very important art. How to learn ahaita ki apritiyata. How to be unbroken in 24 hours a day in bhakti. And to have no material motives for doing that bhakti. Just for the pleasure of Krishna. Now, of course, in the beginning, we have to have motives in the beginning. Because we're used to that. That's how we're motivated. I mean, let's face it, we're all selfish, isn't it? This material world, everyone's in it for themselves. What can I get for myself? So it's natural when we come to Krishna conscious, there'll be that self-motivation. What's in it for me? Everybody wants to know, what's in it for me? If there's nothing in it for me, I don't care about it. You see, that's the natural mentality. So in the beginning, we naturally have the motive that I want the bliss. I want to become free from suffering. That's a natural motive in the beginning. But you know what happens when one becomes purified in Krishna consciousness? You stop thinking about your own happiness. You stop thinking about your own happiness and you just think, will this please my guru? Will this please Krishna? Will this please Srila Prabhupada? You see? Will this please the Vaishnavas? You start thinking about others being pleased. And your pleasure becomes less important and less important and less important. And finally you get to the point where you're willing to suffer eternally. You're willing to go to hell and burn in hell forever. If it pleases Krishna and Guru, you don't mind. You see? That's what it becomes. You finally reach the point where you don't even think about your own pleasure. You just want to please Krishna. But you know what? When you come to that position where your only desire is to please your spiritual master, your only desire is to please Krishna, guess how much pleasure you taste at that moment? At that moment, you enjoy on an equal level with God. You taste an equal pleasure as God Himself experiences it every minute. So if you can just imagine, we can't even begin to imagine the pleasure that God experiences at every minute. But if we will stick to this pathway of Krishna consciousness, purify ourselves day in and day out by steadily doing our service, steadily chanting our rounds, taking shelter of Guru, you see, if we will stick to this pathway, that day will come and we will taste that pleasure, the same pleasure that Krishna experiences at every minute. And we will realize that Krishna actually, there's a pleasure even higher than what Krishna experiences. Did you know that? There is a pleasure beyond the pleasure that Krishna tastes. Krishna was noticing, my devotee, Srimati Radharani, she is relishing so much nectar in serving me. He is saying, what is this? I am the supreme enjoyer. And Radhika, she is enjoying more than me. How is that possible? Krishna was dumbfounded. How is this possible? Srimati Radharani is enjoying more than me. So he said, let me become like Radharani. I don't want to miss out on this nectar. So Radharani, what is she called? The girl with golden limbs? Gaurangi. You see? Gaurangi. So Krishna, he's seeing Gaurangi is tasting so much sweetness. I will become Gauranga. I will take that same mood and that same complexion. Because I don't want to be outdone by Radharani. I want to taste the nectar that she's tasting. So Krishna becomes what? A Hare Krishna devotee. So actually being a Hare Krishna devotee is more nectar than being God Himself. To actually become a Hare Krishna devotee in the full sense of the term. To become a member of the Hare Krishna movement, completely sold out member of the Hare Krishna movement, is more ecstatic than being God. So the Mayavadis, they want to become God. But our program is, why be God? That's second class position. Become greater than God. Become a member of the Hare Krishna movement. That is a pleasure greater than God. If one fully becomes, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified, if one fully becomes Hare Krishna member on the par of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then actually one relishes more pleasure than Krishna Himself tastes. Of course, we are talking about the highest levels of bhakti, not the neophyte stage or the intermediate stage. We are talking about the highest levels, Krishna praying. But do not be discouraged. We have a program to train you how to come through all the levels and achieve the topmost perfection. We have a program. It's given in a book called The Nectar of Devotion. If you will study this book very carefully and live by it very faithfully at every minute, then you will achieve that rare state of consciousness, pure Krishna bhakti. So, We can ask now if there's any questions.
Maharaj, sometimes some devotees in the beginning of their devotional life, they are very good. And after some times by Vaishnava Prad or something like that, then they are fallen or they are misguided. So what will be considered? Their misfortune or the Maya's effect?
Well, it means their devotional service is in the mode of passion. It wasn't, they never came to sattva gun. They were vajra gun bhaktas. They wanted sattva gun. Vajra gun is nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. In other words, rajaguni means he has some motive. He wants to become recognized as a great spiritualist. You know, he has some material motive. Now, it's, in the beginning, it's natural that's going to be like that. But we have to, that's why we need to associate with senior devotees who are not in rajagun. We need senior devotees who are sattva-gun, shuddha-sattva-gun. Or shuddha-sattva is not gun, actually. It's beyond the guns. We need to have, we need to take shelter of senior devotees. That's why we have gurus. Because guru, he is situated beyond the mode of nature. By surrendering to our Guru Maharaj, then he pulls us out of that vajagun mentality where we're very fired up in the beginning and then we lose our enthusiasm after a while. If we completely surrender to Guru, then we never lose enthusiasm. I know this is one of my great good fortunes. And I, of course, I joined this movement. We're all enthusiastic in the beginning. That's why we joined. But you know the order that Prabhupada gave me when I joined, he wrote me one letter. He was very nice. He was very kind. He said, I see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, anxious to spread this movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing and surely Krishna will bless you. So I grabbed hold of that. And see, Prabhupada ordered me to continue enthusiastically. So I said, I'm going to surrender this order. This is a wonderful order. I've been blessed by Prabhupada. So for 36 years, you see, Prabhupada ordered me, always be enthusiastic. That's his order. So I, okay, Prabhupada, I surrender. I may have the enthusiasm, I may not have the enthusiasm from my own side. But because Prabhupada ordered me to always be enthusiastic, therefore, any time my enthusiasm goes, I'm just going to pick myself up and get back into it again immediately. As soon as I catch my enthusiasm down the drain, say, I don't care, Prabhupada ordered me, I'm going to pick myself up again and be enthusiastic. So if one will take the order of one's guru, you see, of one's life and soul, then that initial happiness with the devotee experiences is neophyte in the mode of passion, which eventually goes away. It fizzles out. Oh, something new, something exotic, you know. That will fizzle out. But if you catch hold of Guru Maharaj's lotus feet in the form of his instructions, then you're solidly situated. So, in this way, we have to understand the process. And now we will take the darshan of the wonderful Lords who have blessed us here in Latoka, Fiji. Shishi Gornitai, Krishna Kaliya, and Radha Shamsundar? Radha Gopina? Jai. Radha Govinda? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.